This is the State of Things live from Upstage Cabaret at the Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. And it's good to be here with you and a live audience today. You know, mounting evidence of racial disparity in policing is driving a growing protest movement across the country. And in reaction, many police departments have doubled down their resistance to calls for transparency, further fueling the movement. But here in Greensboro, Chief Wayne Scott has taken a different tack. He's decided to take a serious look at the complaints to figure out what's really going on. He called for a moratorium on traffic stops for minor equipment violations in response to evidence of racial profiling. Greensboro Police Chief Wayne Scott put himself at the center of a political storm when he pushed for the release of body cam footage after the aggressive arrest of DeJuan Uris. Chief Scott joins us here today to talk about those items and the many issues that now face police in Greensboro and around the country. Police Chief Wayne Scott, welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you, Frank.
Good to have you here. Let's start with DeJuan Uris, because there was an incident that, frankly, we might not have known about were it not for the fact of police body cams. And in fact, you said the whole story came late to you. It took you longer than you were comfortable with to find out about this.
Well, yes. And you know, there's a couple of things out there, I think, to get out. The two officers involved in it, they did self-report a use of force, and that's a part of being in a policing environment, that we have force from time to time. But by use of the body camera and by the footage we were able to recall, as it worked its way through the chain of command, it began to cause us to ask additional questions. And as we begin to ask those questions, I think a lot of that's unfolded publicly, what happened with those two employees. But, you know, more important, sometime afterwards, I started hearing from our community. We've worked very hard here in Greensboro to establish things like a chief's advisory council. We've made up some of our faith community, and I got phone calls that there were rumors going around, and a lot of them were inaccurate. So you're right. I wrote a letter to our city council, and I said, let's move forward on this. Let's embrace that transparency, and let's get this video out. And I think although many people view it from different perspectives about the way it unfolded, I'm very proud of the way the organization responded and the way the city responded.
The officer involved in the use of force, Travis Cole, has since resigned. His partner resigned as well. So that followed this. But before all of this came to light, in fact, Travis Cole was given a promotion and a raise. And again, this raises the importance of stories like this coming to our attention, to your attention, so that you can then advocate for releasing this video so that we can all see the truth.
Absolutely. And let me make sure the record is totally clear. The perspective of this individual getting a raise and a promotion, that was actually because of his length of time, and it was something selected several months before this happened. And then throughout the year, that is applied to those individuals as all our employees are. So it wasn't like it was related to the incident. It actually is a non-competitive, just a matter of the length of time on the force. So I want to make sure that people understand that we do consider that. And although it's characterized as a raise and a promotion, it's really a longevity kind of thing.
But it all happened, and it went through the pipeline and got to that point before it even came to your attention.
The story itself. So that's correct.
It's something that could have been checked along the way. So let's talk about this, because there's a state law now that governs the release of body cam footage right now and dash cam footage. Mm-hmm. And essentially, it's not considered a public record,
right,
according to the new state law, and that it can only be released after a judge. So you need a court order to release it. How do you feel about that law?
So actually, it can be released a couple of different ways. The perspective it needs a court order is if someone has no standing in the video. So if you want to just view a video, you're correct. You have to go before an elected official, which is a judge, and you have to request a court order. I think it's very important, because there's a lot of misunderstanding around it, that as the chief of police, I have the authority to release it to someone if they are part of the video, if they are a parent or guardian of a minor that's in the video, or even if they're an attorney. And here in Greensboro, we were one of the first in the state to actually create a program by which we do that. We have a viewing room set up, and we've had dozens of people who have been able to come down. They're part of the video and sit and watch it. We were the first department in Guilford County to go before a Superior Court judge. We've had two requests for people that were not part of it. And we have, on both of those occasions, actually agreed with that party and been able to release the video. So there are means in which it's out there. Ultimately, it if you just want to see it and you don't have any standing, it does fall to the fact that it goes to an elected official who's a Superior Court judge to weigh that. And I think it's important that there is someone who weighs it outside the organization.
So you, in this case, though, the individuals see it, and obviously if they feel there was something wrong with mm-hmm. the way things happened, they could then agitate for more. And as you say, there's an elected Absolutely. Official who's sitting in judgment. And you have the authority to weigh in their behalf, which you've done on a couple of occasions.
We have, yes.
Well, let's talk about policing, too, because that was one of the other things. You made a decision a little over a year ago to not enforce as strictly minor traffic violations. This because racial profiling seemed to be connected to some of those traffic stops. Mm-hmm. There was also some disturbing evidence that there were an increased number of arrests. If you were a person of color, you were more likely to be arrested on mm-hmm. for one of those routine stops. What was your thought process? Why did you make that initial choice?
Well, you know, a lot of those numbers that you've discussed, they were highlighted through a national article. I'm very proud of the fact that we actually had highlighted those numbers several months ahead of time, and we began to ask local researchers. We're blessed here in Greensboro to have major universities within driving distance. We A&T State University, University of North Carolina, Greensboro, and we had actually spent a little money to ask some statisticians at those institutions to begin to help us understand those numbers. There were disparities. There are disparities in just about every set of numbers you look at for every city in the country. And I think that's important to understand as well. The numbers that were kept by North Carolina that the article was based on, there were actually higher disparities in other cities. But we were proactive, and you know, we've always admitted there were disparities. But I think it was important for us to understand what the driving factors were. And so that was the reason that I made that decision at the time. And to give us time to put some policies in place that created checks and balances that our officers were doing their job in the right way for the right reason. In addition to that, over the last year, we've done things like procedural justice. So even though there may be those conceptual things about making decisions that are well within an officer's ability to look at what are long-term repercussions. And I think that we are a better police department because of those changes we put in place, those checks and balances where when an officer asks for a consent to search, that we use a case report and it's checked by a supervisor to make sure that we're doing things all the same way to everyone that we encounter. So at the end of the day, I think, you know, that article made us better. And myself and another chief here in North Carolina actually chair a board of chiefs for the Chiefs Association, and we're going to try to take some of those changes to the state legislative body in 2017 and 18.
Well, what are some of those other changes? Because again, that points to what you found is really right at the heart of it. These are not racist officers, but there's something in the works
well,
that's
I
turning
think,
out
I think
these
it's
numbers.
Important that you have checks and balances to understand the numbers. So what drives the numbers? Just about every police chief in the country is going to tell you, I put my resources because they're limited to where people are being victimized. We are like most cities in this country that our highest level of victimization is going to be in our poorest neighborhoods. And so we have more contact with individuals in those neighborhoods. And I think everyone understands that. But what do we do with that contact is the next question. And so if we ask for a consent to search, I believe it's important that we double check that.
What do you mean double check it?
So not only are you allowed to ask for a consent to search, but you have to document it in my organization by on your body camera that it was given freely or that you sign a consent form. And we're one of the few departments in the state that now require that. But I go a step further and say that we actually even document the tactics that got us there so that we have a supervisor, a veteran officer, making sure our folks are applying those correctly. One of the things that we moved to almost immediately is in North Carolina, only populations of 10,000 or more have to do traffic stop data reports, and they're only for traffic-related offenses. Here in Greensboro, we made the decision we do them for all vehicle stops, and then we can quantitatively understand that data because I think a lot of them are, in some places, are not being recorded correctly, and therefore the numbers aren't right. And we've got to have a good understanding of what we're doing before we can look to get it better at.
I wonder, is now that you've been collecting the data and you've been more aggressive about being mm-hmm. not only wanting that data, but being transparent with it and sharing it, what have you learned? Have you gained any insights into what's really going on out there?
Well, I'm happy to say in my organization, I can't speak for the state, that both of those institutions I mentioned came back with their research, and they found no particular place in which racism was being exhibited. They found that the officers on their face were all doing their job. There's no institutional racism, no individual racism. But as I said the night of the city council when I talked about it, that answer wasn't good enough for me because I want to know more about why there are those disparities. And we've learned that it is a very big question. Just within the last couple of weeks, we've talked to our community, and we have what we call a violent crime summit, and had a discussion about what drives violent crime. Violent crime's up in Greensboro like almost every city in North Carolina. And what I believe is that a lot of it is driven by those things we talked about a few minutes ago. Housing, jobs, the same individuals are falling into the same traps, and I think that drives a lot of the disparity around crime in general. So I think we have to address it by looking at the bigger picture.
I want to take a break right here and talk more about that bigger picture and bring you back for just a couple more questions, particularly regarding SROs, whether or not police officers should be in our high schools and middle schools around the country. When our conversation with Wayne Scott continues, he's the chief of police in Greensboro, and just after that, we're going to talk to a man about his recipe for cream cheese pound cake and how that mailman became famous, and also the Arts Council in Stokes County. And we're going to get a little sample of music from Stokes County right now with the Danbury Songwriters. But first, I want to tell you, you're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio, and here they are, the Danbury Songwriters.
I just want the light shine down through the leaves, shine down in the garden, so that I can believe there's a little bit of goodness left in the world, a little hope and care, and people with faith to shine the light everywhere. I don't want storms, I don't want rain, I don't want troubles drag me down like a heavy chain. I don't want sorrow, I don't want fear, I don't want ruin and resentment anywhere near. I just want the light
This is The State of Things, live from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio, and I'm still talking with the Chief of Police, Wayne Scott, here in the city of Greensboro. And I know you're very busy and you have to go, but I do want to talk to you about one more issue, and that is we've been talking about body cams, and of course, another incident captured on camera in January was a student at Rollsville High School in Wake County being thrown to the ground by a police officer. And, of course, that prompted a lot of discussion. It's not only here in Wake County. We've seen it in other places. You think police officers should be in our high schools?
I think that police officers are an asset in our high school. I'll tell you, here in Greensboro, we believe they're a great asset. But I will tell you that it takes a special individual. We go to great pains to make sure that we have the right people matched up for the job. It takes a level of maturity to deal with the students, but they, my experience has been with our SROs here in Greensboro, they build incredible relationships which help us many more times diffuse the situation without anything. You know, we have SROs that take that job to heart. That I have one SRO in Greensboro that keeps a stack of brand new tennis shoes that are donated in his office because that is the new credit in schools, and he sees kids that need that. Equally, if we don't have that presence, then I'm afraid that we're still going to have 911 calls, and you're going to have officers responding to those incidents that don't have that long-term connection to understand why an individual may be acting the way they are, build those relationships with parents. So I think it's important to have them, but we've got to have the right people, and there needs to be some real forethought that goes into who takes those roles.
Well, that gets to the training that goes on and how things are changing for police officers now being asked to do more and more mental health work since
Absolutely.
We're underfunding our mental health services throughout the country, certainly here in North Carolina. And that means you're on the job for mental health assessments in schools. That's a different. Are you seeing training change? Certainly the need for training has changed.
Absolutely.
Has it kept up in terms of?
Absolutely. You know, we had a summit here in Greensboro within the last few months where we brought together mental health officials and had that discussion. As a result of that, we're partnering with Cone Hospital, which is the largest facility here in Greensboro, to create some training that we'll be delivering to every GPD employee. We are called on to do more and more. At the end of the day, when you need anything out of government, you dial 911. And so we have got to get a little better as a profession of understanding what barrels we fall into and when we need others to help us. And I think that's exactly right. I know on the state level, they're looking at some of the crisis intervention training to make that mandatory. Crisis intervention is a 40-hour course that I require every single SRO to go through. So the two conversations actually kind of marry up.
Well, Chief, I know you're busy, and you've always been great with us for with your time.
Absolutely.
We will talk with you again, but thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Wayne Scott, the Chief of Police in the city of Greensboro.